When I became a bird rehabber, I got my first opportunities to look carefully into the mouths of living birds. When I fed baby blue jays and robins, I could see that the tip of the tongue, what looks to us like the main surface, is shaped like an arrow, allowing it to neatly rest on the floor of the lower bill. That tip rests on the muscular hydrostat, the main tongue, which looks like a wiry stalk rooted to the floor of the mouth. That muscular stalk allows the tongue to manipulate food items, and then, when swallowing a large item such as a fruit, the bird can lift the widened back part of the arrow-like tip to help it pull the food item to the back of the mouth and down the hatch. I took a bunch of photos at the Rifle Migratory Bird Sanctuary in Vancouver this fall so you can see how a robin swallows a berry on my website at lauraerickson.blogspot.com. I've also got some pictures of a cedar waxwing doing the same thing. Not all birds need to manipulate their food with a tongue, and for some of them, a normal tongue would get in the way. Swallows and nightjars both fly into most of their food items, flying insects, at high speed, their food going straight down the hatch. Swallows use their tongue for manipulating nest materials and, in some cases, eating berries or other items, so although it's somewhat reduced, a swallow's tongue is still functional. But nightjars use their feet to scrape out a little nest spot on the ground, and they eat nothing more than flying insects. Their tongue is nothing more than a tiny vestigial flap in the back of their mouth. Most birds that carry fish back to the nest to feed their young use their feet to carry one fish at a time, like bald eagles and osprey, or eat the fish first and regurgitate them to their young, like herons. Terns and kingfishers can easily carry one small fish at a time back to the nest in their beak. Puffins pursue their fish many miles from the nest, so in order to provide enough food for their young, they must carry as many fish at a time as possible. The normal catch is about a dozen fish per trip, but Audubon's Project Puffin website cites a record-breaking puffin carrying 62 fish in Great Britain. It's fascinating to see puffins flying with so many fish, and even more thrilling to realize that they caught them one by one. How is it possible to catch a fish when you already have 5 or 10 in your beak? Puffins have several important mouth adaptations to accomplish this amazing feat. First, the soft gape where the upper and lower mandibles join is stretchable, allowing the edges of the bill to be parallel even when holding a bunch of fish. The ability to hold the bill edges parallel and the strong hook at the front of the bill keep fish from getting sliced or falling out. When a puffin catches the first fish, it holds its specially adapted, slightly spiny, muscular tongue against the roof of the mouth, which bears longer spines pointed backward to hold the fish in place as it catches the second and then the third and on and on. That muscular tongue is just the right tool, working with the specialized bill and the perfectly appointed roof of the mouth. On my blog, I show some random pictures of other bird tongues. I got my greatest insights into bird tongues in a most visceral sense when I rehabbed a fledgling pileated woodpecker. I do not know a single person who got the inside scoop on pileated woodpecker tongues quite the way I did, but this was in the 1990s before I was doing much photography, so you'll have to take my word for it. My little Geppetto liked to sit on my arm, his beak inches from my ear, and stick his tongue right in, running it around every fold. I don't know if he was optimistically rooting around for grubs, curious about ears that stick out so bizarrely and un-aerodynamically, practicing his tongue technique, or what, but I'm still the only person I've ever known who was French-kissed in the ear by a pileated woodpecker. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.